Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
At a time in American history when many are looking to the government and bureaucrats to provide factual information and guide them in the interests of the nation's health and safety, there is mass confusion. For those who lack the ability to properly examine facts and records, they tend to be most dependent. However, there should never be a time when the free will of people should take a back seat to the will of others, government officials, bureaucrats, or others, regardless of their role in the government. Perhaps the thing that will restore national unity now, since it has been challenged and eroded in many cases with the confusion and the frustration, is for more people to speak for themselves moving forward in 2022. Join me tonight as we hold a discussion from the topic, Speaking for Yourself in America. That's our topic, Speaking for Yourself in America. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful for all of you that might join us via the blogtalkradio.com platform and or if you're following us on Facebook Live. Let me begin by apologizing again. Last Tuesday, we had a major malfunction here. Our whole system just shut down on us unexpectedly. Don't really know how to explain that, but it did. And we were able to get back online, but only after losing our callers and those who attended with us. So we do apologize for that mishap there. We could have done anything to prevent it. I guess you know we would have. But nonetheless, we're here on this Tuesday night, January 25th. Wow, already. January 25th, 2022. Brand new year. First month, just about gone. Just about gone. What I'd like to do for you tonight on this episode is first let you know you can call us here live in the studio at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You can reach us in the studio here and participate with us live. You could post in the Facebook group if you follow us from that venue. You can post your question and or comments there, and we'd be happy to entertain that as well. I want to hold this conversation tonight because obviously I believe that is paramount and important in the present moment. A lot of good people. I witnessed people who were friends with one another fall out in the last few months or over the last couple of years over their positions about how to keep everybody safe and healthy in the face of the recent pandemic and the ongoing circumstances surrounding it. Now, all of us are good people. We all, I believe, want the best for ourselves and others. Having said that, it's important, though, that you understand enough to be able to speak intelligently for you, your family, your children, and everything that's germane to you. I'm going to offer a couple of case studies here, historical case studies, of incidents where people were challenged. And they had to make choices and decisions for themselves, with the hope that this will guide us in our discussion tonight and our topic of discussion, speaking for yourself in America. What has happened yesterday is gone. That time will never come back again. What we have in front of us is where we are today and the possibilities of tomorrow. So reasonable people can put their heads together and decide how are we going to walk and touch in agreement moving forward. Today, again, is January 25th. Can you believe that? 2022. And you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Darkey. Let's get through our monologue and open the phone lines at 657-383-0944. Excuse me. And would be able to engage in some conversations. I hope that our other callers are not dissuaded by the mishaps on last week. Excuse me. And that you'll be able to call us here. You're listening on Facebook. I want to encourage you to give us a call. Again, at 657-383-0944. And we hope to have our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, come in and join us there tonight. And most importantly, it's about you. It's about you. Brother Abney, well, you're no good, man. How you doing? We need to wrap. I'll let you later. We look forward to engaging you tonight from this topic of discussion here. You, and you. You're welcome. Again, this is your host. Let's get to it. Let's get right to it, to the monologue here. So we're going to open up our phone lines. The text in Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, says very simply, and as simple as it is, I think it's very powerful. Here's what it says in the King James Version as it is written. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's why you need to speak for yourself. Only what you and I put in for ourselves is what we can really expect to get out. Oh, yeah, people can give you gifts and they can help you and they can assist you. But guess what? You have to take control of your own destiny and be determined for yourself. What you put in, beloved, is what you'll get out. All right? Text is powerful and it's germane to our discussion. First case study, 1859. John Brown tried to organize slaves to come along with him in a mass assault on white slave owners. Now, John Brown was a white man, should it matter. During the raid, he seized the federal army at Harper's Ferry, and 7 people wind up dead. 10 more were injured. He intended to arm slaves and give them weapons, empower them to be free. Right? by hitting up the arsenal and depleting it. But his attack failed. Within 36 hours, reportedly, Brown and all of his men had either fled or been captured by local pro-slavery farmers and militiamen. And guess what? United States Marine, led by Robert E. Lee, took care of their business on him. He was tried for treason against the Commonwealth of Virginia, the murder of five men, and inciting slave insurrection. Found guilty of all counts and was chained. And they hung him and everybody with him. A doctor was among those who got hung. Now, interestingly enough, in this scenario, one notable person that he went to first was Frederick Douglass. He asked Douglass, come on, join me, man, so I can help set y'all free. I want to help y'all, that being Negroes. Frederick Douglass wisely said, this plan that you have cannot last. Don't do it. I can't stop you from doing it, but that's not my business. That's yours. It's impractical. In other words, Frederick Douglass says, no thanks. I'll speak for myself. Had he went along with them, he would have been one of those who was killed. In 1870, the Reconstruction era of America began after slavery had ended in 1865. It had ideas proposed by the Northern Union and even the bewildered former Southern Confederacy that were trying to be fused back in. And they both gave ideas as to how things should go as they reconstructed the United States of America, or the Union itself, right? One of the prevalent questions was, what do we do with the Negro? Well, Tuskegee University, as it is known today, was founded by a brother by the name of Booker Taliaferro Washington on July the 4th, 1881. And it was first called the Tuskegee Normal School for Colored Teachers. See, this was a result of an agreement made during the 1880 election of Macon County between a former Confederate colonel, W.F. Foster, who was running on the Democratic ticket, and a local black leader and Republican. Interesting. Lewis Adam was his name. Foster propositioned that if Adam could successfully persuade black constituents to vote for him, if he's elected, he would push the state of Alabama to establish a school for black people in the county. Sounds like a decent deal, right? Now, at the time, the majority of Macon County population was black, and thus constituents had political power with their vote. Adams succeeded, right? And Foster followed through with the school. Clearly, the people there demonstrated how they had ability to make a choice. But one thing for sure they were able to say is, I can speak for myself. I have the power to speak for me. You see? Case study three. The father of what's called, quote, blackness, end quote, as we know it even today, is said to be Claude McKay, the Jamaican. This brother introduced the concept of being black with a capital B in capital letters, which means that is a noun. It's a person, place, in this case, a person. And he was making reference to people that were born in America, North America, and had Afro ancestry, who had good character. They displayed strength, resolve, and self-determination. These are all the characteristics of a black person, a black man, a black woman. This social view morphed itself into what became known as the Harlem Renaissance, a movement of artistic expression, design of people which were known as Negroes, right? And it later became referred to as the New Negro Movement even during this era. It was a cultural, social, artistic explosion that took place and had its birth in Harlem, New York. And it spanned all the way to 1920s, throughout the 20s. The movement also included the new African-American cultural expression across the urban areas of the Northeast and Midwest in the United States, affected by African-American Great Migration, people leaving all parts of the South and coming up to Harlem to be a part of this great movement. Rather than looking for outside or external validation or approval for their social worth, wealth, worth, and identity, the founders of this movement took the position, no. I can speak for myself. Don't need nobody to say that for me. I can do that. I can identify me. I can lay out my best qualities, and I can determine how you respect me. 1925, many black men worked as car porters and even on commuter trains. When their complaints of unfair treatment and pay were not heard by their bosses or even the government, they united themselves and formed what was called the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters and Maids. A gentleman by the name of A. Philip Randolph became the first president of this group. He would later work with Dr. King in 1963 to organize the March on Washington, along with the Southern Christian Leadership Council, SCLC. Now, these men decided that waiting on somebody else to do this was not an option. So they put their heads, their hearts, and their feet together, and they made it happen. You can say they said to themselves, no thanks. I don't need nobody. Speak for me. You with me? Just a couple more here. 1964, civil rights activists and their families in Jonesboro, Louisiana, they were threatened both by white vigilantes and discriminatory treatments by police under Jim Crow laws at the time. Group that now has become known historically as the Deacons for Defense and Justice were men who many had fought in World War One and Two, right, and the Korean War. But they decided, if I can fight for this nation, I can fight for my people, my family, right? So they armed themselves, and they decided that in 1964, we are not, in this little mill town of Jonesboro, Louisiana, we are not, I said, not going to run, tuck, and coward, but we're going to stand and be respected against the Klan and the Ku Klux Klan. First affiliated chapter was founded in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and it followed by a total of 20 other chapters in that state. Then in Mississippi, Alabama, the group's name derived from the fact that they were God-fearing Christians. In fact, deacons of the church, righteous men, upright men, who loved and feared God and God only. They exercised, though, their voice legally, and they were very effective. Eventually, the federal government sent National Guard's troop down there to Bogalusa, Jonesboro County. And guess what? They resolved the matter. These men decided they were not going to sit back tacitly or passively. I can speak for myself. In America in 22, that's where we need to go. Lastly, this is perhaps a very interesting case study because it had good and bad to it. And then we're going to open up the phone lines here to you, 657-383-0944. But this particular case study, I want you to pay attention to it because it speaks to a certain generation. And this is about 40, 50 years ago now And interestingly enough, we got young people across America who misread and, I would argue, misunderstood the intent of these individuals here. And it certainly has become into a destructive force and a negative thing in many urban cities, predominantly African American. But I hope it gives you some context as to why certain things came into existence. Here we go. Around 1970, realizing the failure of many pieces of national legislation, i.e. more recently in 1965 and 64, voters' rights, civil rights. The nonviolent movement that was encouraged by the SCLC and Dr. King and the contentious promise of welfare, taking care of the full needs of poor African-American people, particularly in urban areas. Despondent males formed street gangs, became most popularly known as street gangs. Despondent males. Now, they were only responding to social economic pressures. Largely, the construction of public housing and economic depressed neighborhoods created the perfect vacuum for these gangs to form. So there were people in these very dense, packed cities, essentially stacked on one another, fighting for resources to live. And they turned to fight on one another. They began to turn to one another as enemies. In Chicago, a fellow by the name of Larry Hoover started the Gangster Disciples. There were other gangs, but this is one of the most notable ones that exists to this day in some form. And he started for security and economic support. That's what they were really aiming at. Not only him, but a fellow by the name of Jeff Fort started the L. Rookins. And it was really a religious spin, but it turned into typical gang activity. Willie Lloyd started the Vice Lords in Chicago as an economic and neighborhood support group. Well, he didn't really start it, but he was one of the most notable ones there. A fellow by the name of Thurston Goosby really started, and they began to work, and they were trying to do very similar to the Black Panther Party in Watts, California, right? Interesting. They were only trying to address some real serious issues. Things got out of hand. No lessons were learned and passed on. All right? A fellow by the name of Stanley Tookie Williams started the Crips in response to what they perceived, he and his friends, as being a need to protect themselves against other people and look out for themselves. Well, across town and Raymond Washington started the Bloods out of the Pierce Housing Project in Compton, California. Here you have different groups and factions of African-American young men, different parts of the country, out west and midwest, trying to find a way to provide for themselves. Oftentimes, little education, not all of them, but many of them, limited resources. And you had begun to see the breakdown of the family dynamics where there were few fathers that were there actually as examples for, unlike in the 40s and the 50s and even in the 60s. These socioeconomic circumstances began to degrade and tear down the family structure. But these young men decided that they were going to fix a way to look out for themselves. They wasn't waiting on the government. They wasn't waiting on movement, but they said to themselves, no thanks. I can think for myself. It's up to us to look at it and have time to judge how effective it was. And today, we see now, to this very day in 2022, how gang activity threatens the safety, the security, and the sensibility of particularly urban American neighborhoods. Where'd they get that from? Where'd they get the idea from? I hope you can understand some of the driving forces behind it. I want to turn to my friend Al Green, the Reverend Al Green. He is known for many things, but one of the things he asks is the question, how do you mend a broken heart? 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery. I want to talk to you about that, speaking for yourself in America. Brother Al, just right quickly, 657-383-0944. Join us here. Give us a call right now. Listen what it says. Listen what it says. Listen what it says.
I can think of younger days. When I lived so mad, all they had a man could want to do.
What you talking about, Al? What you talking about, man? Oh, yeah. Mm. So what happened to you? Broke your heart, huh? Al, we're going to talk about it tonight on Talk Straight, okay? We're going to try to figure that out, Al. We're going to try to figure that out. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'd like to encourage you to give us a call right now, right now. 657, Facebook. Join us. Hook us up here. 657, I want to hear from you. 383-0944. Just give me a few minutes. Holler at me. Call me in the studio here. We'll be able to chat with you and try to get some things going there. All right? You're listening to Talk Show. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic, speaking for myself, America. Now, as I started out in the beginning in the monologue and making it very clear that there are people on different sides of a ideological position across the country, and that is the need to follow certain dictates and guidelines, such as wearing masks and being vaccinated with a certain a vaccination, and even following, waiting on government officials and the CDC and FDA and places like that to tell you when it's okay for you to feel comfortable or safe living. Now, all these people are good people. And I have personally witnessed folk who were friends for years have a divide with one another. It is my personal hope that they're able to get past those differences. But most important for us all to say, I fully understand the need, again, for us to take reasonable measures to those that are most vulnerable, immune compromised or elderly people or sick. You know, I personally have an aunt and an uncle that are up in age in their 80s, and I wouldn't want to threaten them. And so we'd reasonably take measures. You know, I run an insurance agency, and I keep masks and hand sanitizers and measures by which when the customers come in there, we want them to feel comfortable, want them to be safe. So that's reasonable. But we ain't got to fall out with one another. Huh? We ain't got to be mad and point the finger and threaten people or accuse folk of trying to harm somebody. That's where we are, unfortunately. And, beloved, we're better than that. It doesn't matter if you call yourself white or black, or Hispanic or Asian. We're better than that. This is America, and we better than that. Last week, we were trying to talk about, our topic was on the beloved community, where Dr. King popularized this concept of erasing certain tensions or ideas and thoughts so that we all can be on one accord and we can serve as a commune, as a people, irregardless of your ethnicity and things of that nature. See? And that's where we need to be in 2021. I think it caught us all by surprise in 2020. And we're learning more and more about the origins of this COVID thing. Some of it don't sound good. But nonetheless, we were all caught off guard, you know. And most of us, I believe it's fair to say most of us reasonably went along. And we agreed with some of the directives early on. And we tried to make it work. But now it's time, past time. We tried that. We gave you our undivided attention. But just like those individuals in the case studies I just read in the monologue, no thank you. I'm going to speak for myself in America. I'm going to talk for me. You don't have to agree with it. I still love you like peanut butter, love jelly. I like mine on wheat bread. But, you know, you can put yours on whatever kind of bread you want, you understand? But I still love you like that. You understand what I'm saying? But the reality is that we're moving on. And it's time to move on. Time to move on. Would you give me a call right now? 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And again, I want to apologize to our listening audience who perhaps tried to join us last week. And we had my whole computer and system just shut down, and we had to reboot everything, and it took us a second to get back online, but nonetheless, once we did, it appears as though we lost some of our followers there, some of our participants, and we hope that, again, we don't have that problem this evening, and that you will give us a holler back here. So until then, I'll just keep on speaking. I want to reiterate the text in the beginning that we shared in the monologue, where we heard in Galatians the writer tell us that we should not be deceived. And don't try to make a fool out of God. Okay? At the end of the day, people tend to blame God for a whole lot of things. When we can't or unwilling to do, we want to blame it on God. Say it's God's fault. And second thing is the devil. Sometimes people put the devil up there for blame first before they put God up. Right? But the text says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Speak English, doctor, in 2020. Whatever you put out, whatever you work toward, whatever you manifest, what you're going to get back. So if you don't put nothing in, you'll get nothing back. If you put just a little in, you'll get just a little back. You with me? But speak for yourself. Do for you. It's okay to have other people help us. When we're small children, we need parents to be our example, our voice of authority, our guide, our protection. And the hope is that they will shape us into responsible adults, such that we can then take upon ourselves to think and act for ourselves. Speak for ourselves and make manifest that which is important to us. See? That's hence our topic tonight, speaking for yourself in America. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And anybody who is uncomfortable and happy with that, you respectfully let them know that's your problem and not mine. Yeah, you do that respectfully. You don't have to be ugly about that. Just let them know, okay, baby. All right. But you keep on going. Go about your business. You know what I'm saying? Do what you have to do. If you don't, guess what's going to happen? You'll be the one without. We have tough economic times around the United States now, and things seem like they're just crazy. But despite that, beloved, you are in control of your life. And if you're not, you ought to be. All right? I encourage you. There's nothing wrong with you being that way. Not even the preacher or politician or your doctor or any of these people in these positions of influence and affluence that tend to guide us. There's a place for their advice, for their counsel. Sure. Absolutely. I'm not suggesting that it isn't. At the end of the day, though, it's your choice. Somebody say my choice. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody say it's on me. If it's up to, if it's to be, it's up to me. My slogan in 2022 is, it's on you in 22. Tell your neighbor it's on you in 22. Yeah. Give me a call here, 657-383-0944. And as I await your call, I'm going to go and go back to a monologue and reiterate a few things here, okay? You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful that you've joined us. And look like I got my friend right here in the house here. Let me go. Yeah. Let me bring in Pastor Ricky Waller.
Hey, man, what's going on, Pastor Dockery? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm just trying to hold this thing in the road, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Man. That's how you do it, brother. That's the way you have to do it. That's not a bad thing.
Yes, sir. My daddy told me about Muse, Pastor. He was from down there in the Delta, Mississippi, you understand? He learned at a young age how to handle them. He said, the mule is hot here. You understand what I'm saying? And then every now and then you got to holler at that mule. Whoa. You tell him to go right. His hot head tail want to go left. But you got to snatch. Whoa, bang.
Hey, man, so you had to know how to utilize the techniques that cause it to obey.
You understand what I'm saying? You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's all right, brother. That's all right. Well, at least he taught you that.
That's right. That's a good thing. That's interesting because here we are in 2022, Pastor, and got some things that act just like an old stubborn, hard-head mule, man, long-head mule. Whoa, bang, yeah. Bang. Well, we're talking from the topic, speaking for yourself in America. Can you see anything wrong with that proposition there, Pastor?
Pastor Doc, what do you say? What's wrong with it? Tell me that again.
Our topic tonight, speaking for yourself in America. Do you see anything wrong with that?
No, I couldn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, you know, you brought forth the topic, man. I know when you bring forth something like that, it's going to be valuable. So there's no way I can say there's something wrong with that.
Okay.
Not at all. No way.
Well, allow me to play the devil's advocate here for a second. Somebody would argue, Pastor, that you don't know enough to speak for yourself, so you need... You're a grown man now. We're grown men and women, but you need the doctor to tell you what's best for you. Exactly. You need the preacher, and you need the politician. They know better for you. Now, you can't just jump up and say you want nothing or going to do nothing. You got to wait till somebody tell you that. How about that?
Yeah. See, that's it. That's it right there. It's order. It's called order, brother. That's what it's called. Yeah, that's called order, you know. That's exactly what that's called.
Well, whose order,
yeah,
though?
You got it.
But by whose order? You're grown. You know, when you reach 21, that says be the age of adulthood. That means you know legally think, choose, and do what you want to do.
I'm glad that I understand that now, that somebody had, a man had to invent that, you know, because I know good well. It sounds good, too. You didn't make it sound so good. They heard them say, I'm grown now. I can do what I want to do now. Yeah, that's the trap right there.
Is that the trap, Pastor? Wait. Now, you're telling me something now. You're saying something now.
Yeah, that's where the trap come in at, brother.
Explain that to me like I'm 3 years old, Pastor. What you mean?
Well, in my experience, it got me, you know. The trap got me. I even went ahead of time. I was grown before my time, according to my actions. And then once I got 21, I was able to say, okay, I'm legally, I can do certain things now. But I already was applying myself as being grown because of the things that I was doing. But let me say this. I wasn't even grown at 21.
What?
Because I was still thinking like a child, brother. Yeah, I was thinking like a child on up until when I was 34.
My God.
That's when I finally realized, I was thinking like a child all them years and didn't even know it. That's the sad part about it.
Wow.
You know, I didn't know that I was thinking like a child. Anytime a person has some changeable things and don't know how to change them, man, you know, that means that you must not be grown. I mean, little things like this right here, you know, I experienced something, for instance, a cigarette.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden, I don't know how to stop.
What?
Well, I'm grown. Well,
but you're grown.
Stop.
Interesting.
Yeah. That cigarette told me you ain't got no power to stop, so you're going to smoke on. And that's what I had to do until
same
I learned, as I said. I learned
same thing
that
with
I was grown later on.
So you said that's the same thing with alcoholism and drug use and other vices that overtake us. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man, without a doubt, man, because I experienced it in them other areas, and I'm just thinking about something that one may say that they don't think that it is something that's controlling, but it is. And so it's a lot of other things in life and society that people are being controlled by, and it caused them not to be able to say with action, I'm grown. They said by way of the numbers, but they cannot say it and be effective by their actions, is what I'm saying.
Interesting.
I'm talking about you. You know.
Okay.
I felt so bad, brother. When I found out about me and all that I was doing, and I said, man, I was sitting there talking about I was grown and thinking like a child.
Well, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was appreciative of learning that I got free of those things. No doubt about that. But why would I be mad about it and upset about it? Because I had to go and find out somewhere else that I was grown at. In other words, that I actually really can overcome those things. And I wasn't able to do it on my own.
I see.
But I was supposed to be, quote, grown. That's all I'm saying.
I got something for you, Pastor. I got something for you. Hold on.
All right.
Look what the writer in 1 Corinthians said. 13:11. You know the story. You know the story. When I was a child, I spake.
Yeah, man.
As a child.
Just like one.
I understood. Just like one. Knucklehead child. Mm-hmm. I thought.
Watch this.
But watch it, Pastor. I think you're trying to start something.
But when?
At the moment.
I became.
I what?
Yes, sir. I became.
Now, you
a man.
Have to help.
I put away.
You have to help.
I put away, man, when I became.
Listen.
Man,
you're going to have to.
Put away.
You're going to have to explain to me now this becoming a man and being capable of laying childish things to the side.
Yeah.
We're talking about speaking for yourself.
Man.
Help me with that. Help me with that tonight.
That's it. Now, because I put childish things aside doesn't mean I had to stop playing with the basketball. That doesn't mean that I'm still thinking like a child because I played with the basketball.
Okay.
I was playing with it when I was a child. But I want you to see what I'm coming from. It seems like that's what a child is. A child play with things like a basketball and football and baseball and things like that. And all those other things that they play with, but I'm using that as an example. Why is it that I still play with the basketball? That's different. That's a gift versus, you know, thinking like a child Hey, man, because that childish way of doing things, man, is something about, you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things, right?
Okay.
That's what I was supposed to do, put away childish things. And I noticed something, that basketball is a tool for young kids to know, don't deviate from it once you learn the value of being a child. Enjoy it. See, I missed those times that supposed to be thinking like a child. You know, even back then. But at that time, I wasn't thinking like a child. I was, quote, thinking like I was grown, man. And that, to me, was a trap. So that's the thing about when I became a man, I put away. And I actually put away because I won't go back to none of those bad habits.
I see.
You see? That's
see.
What being a man is. That's what being a man. Being a man is being able to say, okay, now I had a habit of doing this, that, and the other. And I mean a bad habit of it.
Okay.
Uncontrollable. You know, in other words, like, somebody do it for me. You know? Hey, man, did nobody put that stuff in my system? I did.
You did
and,
that?
And, yes, sir, to myself, man, that's why I say the trappers was real. That thing made me not even realize who I was, man. So it's a lot of people right now, as we speak, and I'm glad that you brought this up. You know, we should be able to know that at the age of 21, we should be making a decision. Do you know how many 21-year-old people, man, right now?
Come on, talk to me.
They are dealing with some things right now that are changeable, and they don't even know how to change themselves.
Wow. Don't know where to start. Don't even know where to begin.
No, brother. No. Look in the mirror and don't even see themselves in the mirror.
Question.
That they got what it takes to change, man.
Well, question.
Right now, as we speak.
Yes, sir. I'm following you. That's why I got this question. At what chronological age does it click? Or is there a certain age?
Yeah. That's right.
Talk to me,
That's
man.
Right.
You're going to have to help me now. You got me all the way out here in the middle of the ocean, and you ain't going to let you ain't gonna help me swim, man. When does it click?
It's at the age of it clicks in the age of choosing to become aware. That's when you become aware that you're thinking like a child, and you don't know until you become aware of it. That's when it clicks in. And it sure don't click in at the age of 20, 30, 40, 50. That's not when it kicks in.
It kicks in
when you become aware.
Well, now, look, Pastor, hold on, man. The text says man is promised 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if by reason, that give you 80. So you can't give me a number between 1 and 80? I mean, come on, man. Because it's going to be all for you by 80. Go ahead.
By that time, man, it ought to be celebration time. You know? at least you can celebrate like a You know, for instance, give you a good example. Give you a really good example, man.
Okay.
And I say this because this is really actually something true.
Okay.
With Lord's will, on the 31st of this month, I'll have 30 years of being delivered from the drug game.
Wow.
From putting drugs in my body.
Well, praise
from
God.
From putting drugs in my body, the drug that was controlling me. I have 30 years. And I mean true 30 years, not no 29 or 30 if I live and nothing happened. And so I'm saying all this to say I can celebrate that.
Wow.
You see?
Wow.
That's a great celebration. So by the time people, when they get that age, man, they should be able to celebrate. They shouldn't be still out there doing that stuff, man.
I see.
But they don't know. They don't
know,
man. They don't know. It's people 60 and 70, man, and probably on up there still doing that stuff.
They don't have a clue, huh? Help us, Holy Ghost.
Don't have a clue, man. They don't have a clue. And I mean, when I say this, I'm saying this with love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I got free, man. I just think like this sometimes. I said, man, that could be you still out there doing that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I said.
Well, listen, I got St. Louis in with me now, and we're going to bring him in. We're talking St. Louis and rest of the listening audience. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Pastor Doctor, and got Pastor Waller on our co-host. Our good friend out of St. Louis called in with us. Speaking for yourself in America. That's our topic. And we were just related to that, St. Louis, talking about how I thought maybe when you turn 21, you're automatically in control of your decisions, what you want to do, where you want to go. Pastor's telling me that just because you reach that chronological point in life don't mean you're ready. What do you think about that, St. Louis?
Well, first I'm going to say, what happened to you last Tuesday?
Man, I apologize. My whole computer just shut down. And
Wait,
I had
you
to...
checked all?
I didn't blow a gasket. I didn't shoot a pistol. But no, I mean, I'm not sure what it was. When I finally got everything back up and got back on air, lost several callers, and it was just crazy. When my wife told me, she said, go over there and get in the bed. So I just went on and got in the bed. But anyway,
yeah,
I apologize.
I thought maybe you was on mute. But anyway, a person has to answer for their own behavior in the laws of this country when you reach a certain age. That's when your behavior becomes your responsibility. When you reach a certain age. Now, any of these other milestones is put on by whatever ethnic group and a particular tradition and culture come from. But per law, when you reach a certain age, then you're at the point in your life where your actions become your responsibility and nobody else.
Interesting. You know, at one point, gentlemen, they were sending young boys over to wars at 18. And at first, the legal age was 21 in most states. They had to change it to the age of consent to 18 because they realized that's kind of hypocritical to send a boy over there to fight in a war, but you can't have the choice at 18. To consent to what you want to do. So it's interesting. But now, Pastor was just telling us, and I was listening to what he was saying, that, you know, people could deceive themselves, gentlemen, into thinking that because I got a certain amount of money, right, certain amount of recognition in society, perhaps, and I'm of a certain age, I can go where I want to, do what I want to when I get ready. I'm in charge, and can't nobody tell me nothing. What's wrong with that now? Is that not right? Pay the cost to be the boss.
Somebody will tell you something, especially when you go beyond the bounds that limits have been set for you. So you will be told.
Okay. Even the pastor, Pastor Waller, is there a limit as to what the pastor, where you get off when they speak to you as a grown consenting adult, Pastor Waller? Is there a limit to what the preacher can say?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Pastor Doctor. I've always recognized that, you know, in my coming up, man. Somebody's watching you.
Uh-oh.
Somebody's watching you, so you can be a good example or you can be a terrible example.
I see.
And that's the thing about what one may not understand, the power of influence. See, influence is a very powerful word that can encourage an individual to choose to go down a path, that's not even really actually something that's good for them, but yet still the influence.
Yeah.
A grown person, what I'm saying, a grown person at the age of 21 or older could be subject to that. Well, I just say it has happened, and I've seen it, you know, more than once. And by the time they get into it, it seems at that point it's a state of no return to get back into the swing of the way it once was, you know, free, choosing to do things that they want to know. When something gets into that point, getting to the point where it's controlling you, you got to go with the flow. Hey, brother, listen, I'm talking about experience. Is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about he say.
Okay.
I'm talking about being in the field of experience, and that's the reason why sometimes it just takes that understanding that if I haven't experienced it, then I can't really speak about it on the level that one have experienced it can. Like, it's a lot of things I don't know anything about by way of pastors and things like that, that they have been able to do certain things and have accomplished certain things. I can't speak about that. They don't send me playing like I can, because what I'm ready to do, I'm going to deceive myself trying to deceive somebody else. You see? So that's why that's not fair for me to do that. So what I do, I stay in my lane and I recognize what I know and I apply it. I had some kids, and I was just sharing this with my daughter not long ago before I got on the broadcast.
Okay.
There were some kids that were standing up on the corner. You know, they was playing with each other, two little boys, and I just happened to be passing through. And I seen them. They've been to the basketball clinics. And I stopped, even though I had a suit on. I still took my basketball out, and I was doing things for them. And what they said, man, let me know that they paying attention.
Okay. Okay.
See? And when you do something that would send them down the wrong pathway, remember, I'm letting you know, they're paying attention. That's what I'm saying. I had to remind myself. I said, man, look at all the people that was paying attention to what I used to do, and they followed right on into it with it when they got that opportunity. And so here these innocent kids see me doing something positive, man, and they don't even have to take the basketball route. But they stemmed me while I was doing the basketball thing, and guess what some guy did? You can hear it on the video. The guy pulled over. He said, "Rev, what you doing, Rev? Rev, what you doing? I'm looking for him. Where's this noise coming from?" The guy done pulled off the street because he seen me over there entertaining the kids. And I turned around and I told him this here, Pastor. I say, "Hey, my man, I said I'm over here doing something for the kids." In other words, I got the kids paying attention to positive things, man. And that's what I'm talking about, and paying attention. So you got to be mindful of what you do in front of people. And that's, sometimes that's not being looked into that way. And that's why so many people try certain things that they may think is a really good thing, man. And so the trap is real. In other words, all I'm saying, the trap is real.
Okay.
And
okay.
So even the pastor's getting trapped, man. I'm talking about, hey, look here. Look here. When they trap the pastor, brother.
Well, how did that happen?
They tell me that the enemy, the devil, show up into the building, man.
My glory.
You
know?
They say he'll show up.
That's interesting you say that, because this has been a few years ago now. I was at a training, gentlemen, and it was so happened that there were a couple of other preachers from the area. We were working for the state at the time. And there were about three or four of us that were preachers and that sort of thing. So anyway, I came from the cafeteria to sit down at the table. And I don't know what they had been talking about, St. Louis, before I showed up. But there were some young ladies there, some little young ladies, you know. And I think they thought they were cute and everything. And that was all right. I didn't have a problem with it. I was just going to sit down and eat. And it was lunchtime because we had to get back to our sessions and what have you. Well, by the time I got to the table, one of the young ladies started giggling, the other one hollered out, "What kind of preacher are you?" I said, "What kind of preacher? I ain't told you I was a preacher. St. Louis, I ain't tell nobody I was a preacher, first of all." Was it the chicken? Or, I didn't have no chicken on my plate, St. Louis. I'm a vegetarian. So.
Maybe it's your shoes.
It was. Well, so at the end of the day, I come to find out what had happened was one of the fellas was hitting on one of these little young girls. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't know why he would tell her, yeah, I'm a preacher, and all of us, him too. He preaches too. Keep me out of y'all stuff, man. Well, and I wasn't upset with the young lady though, because I understood what was going on, you know, and I explained to her, well, ma'am, you know, the best way you to find out what kind of preacher I am is to ask my wife and ask my country. And you'll never get that opportunity because we way down here in Tullahoma, Tennessee, and they in Nashville. But the point is, that to your point, yeah, people are watching, and it's your association oftentimes. But it kind of goes back to our topic. I would speak for myself, you know. I don't need you to tell anybody else who I am because, St. Louis, I very rarely tell people I'm a pastor. I find that I don't really need to because they tell me before I mention it. You see what I'm saying, St. Louis? If I got some tennis shoes on, I don't know if that's the dead giveaway. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, tennis shoes and white socks.
but now, I did want to say this, that here we are in 2021, gentlemen, and I started in the monologue explaining some people I know.
2022.
Yeah, 2022. People I know who were good friends with one another are at odds with one another over some of the masks and some of these other stipulations. And is it fair to say in Nashville is over, Pastor Waller? There's no regulations here. But in people's minds, wearing a mask and having a shot and vaccinated, there's no regulations here in Nashville, as I understand it. But there are some people in their minds who think you still got to follow what you see on the news. And and it's got people at odds with one another. That's what troubles me. And people that are good friends with one another, you know. I just wondered, this kind of inspired the conversation, speaking for yourself. No, people are not St. Louis. They're not in these laboratories. They don't know what Pfizer and Merck and Moderna is doing. And in fact, it was interesting to me that they wanted to give themselves 50-some years before they can reveal what's in
75 years.
75 years. That's right. I'm sorry. 75. Oh, really? That ought to tell you something. Don't that tell you something, St. Louis?
Tell me something.
I mean, what? And some people took them to court, and I think they're still trying to – they told them they had to come up with something. They're still trying to fight it, but – I'm just saying that I'm all for keeping people healthy, you know, and doing what is reasonable. But come on now. I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. I ain't dumb, but I ain't stupid. So explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. What do you think about that, St. Louis?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I was looking at a video entitled The 10 Wealthiest Black Zip Codes or Black Communities in Texas.
Oh, wow.
And this is just something that you never hear about. Mm. You got some communities in Texas that's like 80-some-odd% black. And I ain't talking about no 10 population.
Mm-hmm.
You got some populations like 40 or 50,000.
Oh, wow.
And the crime rate is hardly none.
Okay.
Graduation rate in the schools is in the 80 percentile plus, like Cedar Hill. Now, you know, they have parades, they have parks, activities, police department, no police brutality charges that I've been able to detect. So you have to ask yourself, how is these all black majority, not all black, but majority black community, some as low as 30% black, and like I said, some is high, at least a couple as high as in the 80 percentile. How are they doing this, Ruben?
Okay.
When everything else you read every place else
say
that's just not possible amongst black people.
Interesting. Were you able to analyze some of their social habits?
It showed pictures of family outings, parades, nice stadium for the high schools.
Wow.
It showed kids playing, fathers playing with the children.
Okay. So it does sound like it's heavily influenced by the social orientation. And I were you able to determine what the average income was for these?
Oh, families? The average income is above normal.
Okay.
You talking about $60,000 and $70,000, $80,000.
Okay.
Highest professions could be architecture, engineering, and businesses.
Okay, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like to me that if people understood, right, that there are examples or cases that can be turned to, you know, a lot of people don't know. That goes back to what we were saying, Pastor Waller, that just because you are of a chronological age does not mean you understand really enough to, I don't want to, you know, disparage anyone, but to sustain yourself in a way that you don't make a fool out of yourself. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of great grown folks that when they open their mouth and you see them act, they're just like 15 years old or 12 years old. You're like, my God, what happened? What a bad social experiment there. But, well, moving forward.
They got beautiful homes.
Okay.
They married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I mean.
No, it's nothing wrong with it, but you don't hear nothing about it.
Okay. The media is not making that a public spectacle. They're not making that a big thing.
No type of media, black or white. And as I said before, it goes against all the odds. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sound like
Pastor Rick, you said something about, I heard something about the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
If the percentage was real, like you said, was it 100%? Was it 100% that you're talking about? Mm-hmm. They got police and things like that. Is that something that they have there also?
You don't hear no police brutality.
Hold on. I'm asking a question. Let me ask the question. I said, did I hear something about they have police there?
Yeah, they have police department.
You ever heard, Pastor Doctor, you ever heard of undercover lawbreakers?
Undercover lawbreakers? Well, yeah,
undercover. undercover.
Yeah, okay.
Look here. You don't hear nothing about it. You understand? Hey, look here. And I'm just saying that because of the percentage, had it been 100% now, see, I want something that is 100% that it works.
Okay.
Not 80.
Okay.
Not 90. But 100.
Okay.
You don't see the scripture says. Now, that's what I heard in the scripture now. If a man have 100 sheep and one going straight, he ain't thinking about the 99 until he can complete it with that other one, which makes it 100.
Okay.
And he's going to do everything he got to do until he finds that sheep. Now, this is what the scripture says. Now, I don't know about that, but I'm looking. Give me the 100%. That's what I'm looking for. Tell me where they get down like that, 100%. And they got to get credit where credit is due.
Well, now,
because it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I like to think that it's possible to be done because they got all these things. They living it up. They married and they got nothing going on.
Okay.
Because they're not going to display it. They're not going to let you know that it's going on. You see what I'm saying? But I've seen all of that. I'm just talking about my experience. I've been watching it lately. People living large, got all the materialistic things in the world that they could handle.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Pastor Doctor?
What's that?
They can't even get along. They're trying to do one another in and things like that. So it might be where the percentage is not 100%. So I just try to find out what's going on with the other percent.
Let me ask
what's
St.
happening
Louis
with the 20%?
Well,
I know that's what I'm talking about. I want to make sure.
Yeah.
Do they know anything about the 20%?
Okay. Well, I think he was saying in terms of ethnicity that it was about 80% African-American. Did I understand you correctly, St. Louis?
Yeah, in a couple of cities it was. And you got some cities, like here in Humble, where the black population, they got 57,000 population, and you got 21,000 blacks.
Okay.
Did you say everybody was doing well and nobody's doing anything.
Average income is medium. the medium income is about $70,000.
All right. What he was talking about take? Crime. St. Louis, he was asking about the crime rate. That was one of the metrics I guess he was asking about.
Because you said nothing is going on.
There's no crime in these communities.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Okay. And you know, one reason, you know, when you look at the houses, you don't see no ghetto.
Look at the houses.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the house structure.
You
don't
well,
have no ghettos. You have, there's one community in Richmond. In Richmond, they lakefront residents.
Okay.
They come out their front door and walk right on down to the lake.
Okay. What's that got to do with? He was trying to get you to explain why when you look at the homes that these people have in the neighborhood, the residents.
Because that's the
investment.
Okay.
That
means
they don't do nothing because they got a good looking house.
Yeah, that means that's the investment in the homes. You pass the investment on to your children. See, you got blacks. You got some people saying blacks move away from.
People need to hear some real things too now.
You say blacks move away from the city, and they go on out. They talk about how they will, in one town you have doctors and all that. Well, people do things for the best interest of their family. So that's why come many would choose this city, any of these 10, and they will make a place for them to raise a family, and have good schools, children to get a good education, property values would sustain. Services and so on and so on.
Okay.
Do they have compassion like you, Pastor Doctor?
Do they have who?
Do they have compassion on people? Because see, the Bible says that the rich and the poor is something that is going on in life. But the Lord God is the maker of them both.
Right.
So I'm trying to get some understanding to say, is it that they're doing everything right and they don't want to be affiliated with nobody that's not doing what they're doing? See, that's why I'm saying to you, Pastor Doctor, because I have a big-time question, because you happen to be a man loves reaching down to help others.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they can't help themselves. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
I just want to make sure, because from what I'm hearing, that'll throw me off from what I'm hearing, man. It's saying that, look, get away from anything that'll hinder what you're doing, because the Word of God said, consider. Remember you talked about in Galatians chapter 6 not long ago?
Right.
Talking about chapter 6, if a man be overtaken in a fault,
right,
you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness,
that's
considering
correct.
Yourself that you be tempted also. Consider, meaning that don't put yourself up so high, you understand what I'm saying, that you don't understand what it's like to be down low.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And that there could happen. And, brother, listen, so we got to make sure that we don't allow, you understand, see, the enemy, the trap is real.
Right.
You can talk about some things that you don't know what you're talking about and sound good and make it seem like, man, is that so? I need to move out in Beverly Hills now where everybody's at. Because they're living good over here. They don't do nothing.
Now, Pastor, can I say this, Pastor? I believe that it is possible to go to a neighborhood that has a 95% gun violence, robbery, assault rate.
Uh-huh.
I believe, this is me now, I believe it's possible to go there with the right type of intervention and the right type of care and turn that around to where you have none.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
Right?
I
believe
like
that.
Restoring.
But now,
that good percentage right there, about 5%.
All right, hold on. Let me finish. But that requires, what that transformation requires, is people to change their mindset and their behavior. See, I don't believe they're doing it just because they were biologically born to do that, but they were socially conditioned. And with the right intervention, you understand what I'm saying, Pastor? It can happen.
That's a concerned person. That's concerned. Well, that's concerned people, though, is what you're saying, right?
Which you know
concerned people who have something to offer that's willing to put before effort to say, look, I'd just like to give a hand because the Word of God does say,
okay,
consider yourself
being in that
condition.
Sure.
And if you can't handle that, you might as well shut down what you got to say because you ain't saying nothing. You're just talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing.
All right, let me go to St. Louis.
I mean, what are we going to
say? You know, you remember Robert Shuler?
Yes,
you remember Reverend Robert Shuler out there in Orange County? They had the Crystal Palace Church.
Yes.
said, God don't like failures.
Okay.
Africans say that a lot of black Americans are cursed, intergenerational curse. It's spelled. My wife said that. I asked her about 2 weeks ago. She said a lot of those people that we got rid of have been cursed, intergenerational curses. And you got to believe them.
Why?
Because they are the beginning of mankind and civilization. Everything comes out of there.
You're talking about in Africa?
In Africa. That's what people say. And when you really look at it, they're pretty right. So a lot of those people that ended up over here was expelled, cursed, and had spells on.
Okay. Well, I'd like to respond to that when you get through.
I'm done.
Okay. I was just going to say that I wrote about this in my first book, Antidotes for the African American Male, his faults, basically. Actually, the book was entitled Let Us Make a Goddamn. Wasn't cussing, a God am, a man that exists as God, antidotes for the African-American male crisis. And my thesis was, gentlemen, that because of sin and disobedience, people of Afro-descendant America, males in particular, who come up through a certain plight throughout America, was facing a curse. And I based that off of Malachi, the 6th chapter, in the 4th and 6th verse, until the hearts of fathers turn to the children, hearts of children turn to, I'm going to strike the earth with a curse, right? Now, but the point here is that it requires behavioral modification. People got to change. If I find myself right now aching and hurt and sick and I want to get better, I have to ask myself, what must I do? That's behavior. What actions must I take to improve my physical condition, you know? And that's with anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. And at the end of the day, if we don't know Pastor Waller, you know, if we don't have the information to be able to make certain declarations and speak certain things into existence, it's helpful to ask, where can I find that? And it's a good thing to say, who's doing what I want to do? And if I see them doing what I want to do, it's healthy to ask them, hey, how do you do that? Do you mind telling me how to make that manifest for me? But you speak for yourself. You know, that don't mean nobody will come take over your life now because you say you want to help me. What I find in my experience is that people in the social services and government, they have a tendency to think that, hey, you know, you got to do whatever we tell you. You don't think for yourself no more. Now, that dog ain't going to hunt right now. No, that dog ain't going to hunt. No, you got yourself a little poodle out down the woods trying to chase squirrels. And that squirrel tear that poodle up, man. You better go get you a hound dog or a golden retriever. Tear that little dog all to pieces. But I'm just saying, you understand what I'm saying.
Does the scripture say for all have sinned?
Yes.
And come
I read that.
Okay. That's I didn't say most people.
Apostle Paul
so it didn't say a few people or a lot of people. It just said all have sinned and come short.
A-L-L.
You know what I mean? That does not mean, you know what I mean, that you're going to continue.
Okay.
But, you know, to know that, that means you're thinking like, sometimes when you think like a child, as I said, that don't define the numbers that you're 21 or you're 71. It just says you're thinking like a child.
Okay. All right.
So anytime a person Now, this is not for everybody, you know what I mean? It's just for all those who are willing.
Okay.
And that's what I love about the Word of God.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? He said, if any man desire to come after me, he said, let him deny himself.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are not going to deny themselves, man. And that's just the way it is. And this is not something that's being forced upon the people to make them deny themselves. And that's what I love about the Word of God. And
You know,
he says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Because
right.
it's not about who you're going to serve tomorrow. Who you're going to serve today.
I see.
Because he said, this is the day. And so I have to remember, it's a beautiful thing to know that once upon a time, you know, a person that was living a certain way found out some things and started living differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of change, man. That's what choices come in at. So if a person wants to continue to choose, you know, not to believe, not to trust, you know, it can rub off on a person if a person is not mindful, you know. And so I have to make sure, guard your heart. So I got to keep guarding my heart, brother, because look here, I know how quick it is, you understand what I'm saying, to change.
Okay.
And I just can't get that in my spirit to say I'm going to let anything cause me today to revert back into what I just got free from, man. I just told you earlier about how long it's been and everything and what I'm believing God for, you know, and how what a celebration it would be. But if I listen and if I hear, you know, things that could cause me to stumble, you know, amen, I'm going to have to blame somebody. Who was that?
Okay.
Did I just hear you say this? So you got to be mindful of how you hear. And that's why I'll be listening, man.
I got you. But now, so it's, St. Louis, I'm thinking about what both you and Pastor Wall are saying. And what I'm hearing is that there is a model, but it's also possible for people to assume that individuals who represent this model may feel as though they're superior to or they're better than. And in the middle is an opportunity, see? And there's an opportunity for somebody to share and somebody to receive and everybody to walk away happy.
See, you got today. You got people that wants to change things, like this church, the Shula head. It had financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
He was ousted. His son was ousted. They wanted to keep. His daughters wanted to create a gospel choir, but they had the members of the choir to sign off on that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And marriage should be between a man and a woman. Well, the old man Shula didn't like that because the person who was a contractor on the church and building, he was an open gay.
Okay.
So they human beings. And this is why these are whites. See, we're talking about human beings. You hear people come on here talking about whites this, white that. Those human beings. Anytime somebody say something that white's done, I can match you 2-1 what blacks done. I put a bit out there. Somebody with black skin, I would match them 2-1. You're talking about human beings. That's what they do. Evil don't know no skin color.
No, that's true. Now, at the end of the day, I want to tell people this, that, and I'm an example of this because I had a police officer tell me at 14, and he said it, and no nice words. You look so, just kind of like President Biden told the reporter, you know, SOB, you'll be dead before you 16. He was mad with me, see? He was mad with me because at the time I was under the snitch rule, you know, growing up in the projects, you don't tell on your friends. And I knew, you know, I had some information that was going on. Make a long story short, I couldn't understand how this black man that was 6 foot something, red eyes would look at me and tell me that, Pastor. Why would you say that to me?
Oh, man.
But as I look back now, I understand. Well, because he was angry because somebody's child was dead. And I wasn't giving him the information he needed to help bring comfort to that family that lost their child. You see what I mean?
Well, you should have.
Yeah.
Well, in retrospect, I wish I would have, but I was a young dumb and always trying to get some. You know how you say Pastor, how you go?
Young dumb, full of flu and always ready to do it, man.
You understand what I'm saying? And my point is that as I look back now though, gentlemen, I can say resolutely that other young people need to understand that, for one, we want to resolve all of those behaviors that cause anybody to be hurt. And two, we want to make sure that if you put yourself in other man's shoes, you'll understand why it's important for people to get some relief, some comfort, and bring some closure to things. You understand what I mean? And that's what happens too often, particularly in the hood. Today, I can tell a young man, I was telling a politician this, St. Louis, I can tell you how to keep a little shawty out of trouble. One of the tools you might need is a belt, but I can tell you how to do it. You may not need that belt, though. Some of you don't need to use the belt, but some of you might need a belt, but I can tell you how to do that. Now, if you want to do it, we can hook you up. If you don't, I'm going to leave you alone. But I can tell you how to keep a little shawty out of jail, out of juvenile, and out of trouble. I know how to do that. I know how to do it.
Hey, man. I know you got some good advice, brother.
You got some
real good advice, man. I'm telling you really do. You have something that I know that I can see a generation of young people, man, listening to you
and being able
to understand that this is compassion talking to us. I can see that, man. I can see it happening. And I'm believing that this is the process of what's, you know, causing you to reach out like you have been doing and you will continue to do. That those kids, whether it's two of kids, whether it's two or three of those kids, or whether it's 100 or 1,000 of them, man, you got what it takes. Yeah,
well, I appreciate
just keep doing
but
what
you know,
you're doing.
I appreciate that, Pastor. You know, the one barrier that I have found over the years, and I've noticed this for years, is that there are people that look like me who profit off of their demise. They make money. When they out there clowning, the foolery, and what happens in the street, they're people that get paid, their livelihood. That's how they feed their family, is by making sure they out there. Because if they ain't out there, they ain't got a job no more, see? And I realized that that's part of the problem. There are people that make money off of these folks' miserable demise. That was Holy Ghost.
That's why I don't want you, Pastor Doctor. I see, man. I understand, man. You say they're making profit?
That's how they make their money, man. They make their money like that. That's how they get down, you know. I realize that is a real dynamic. So we're fighting the headwind. It's not just trying to get the young folk to change their behavior or convince their parents to sign on to the behavior model. But there are people who incentivize foolishness, destruction, social degradation, because they make money off of it. Now, and these are not just white people. Let me just put the oil where the squeak is. See, and this bike can go on down the road quietly. It ain't just white people. It's some of my people that make this money.
Just people. Yeah, just people.
I'm talking straight tonight now. I mean, that's what I want to do is talk straight. So let's be honest about it. It's not just one factor, but there are a number of variables that we should take into account. But either way, people have to speak for themselves. You know, they have to be determined that what they say they want, they're going to work toward doing it. That's why I emphasize in the text, Galatians 6 and 7, what it did say that whatever a man soweth, in other words, what you put out there, what you work toward, that's what will come back to you.
Uh-huh.
I won't reiterate the fact you put a little bit out there, guess what you're going to get?
That's what you're going to reap.
A little bit back.
Okay.
So you're trying to be stingy, trying to be shyst, you know what I mean? You hurt yourself. Yeah, don't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care on like that.
Man. You know, the word of God says, you know, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I can see what you're saying.
I read that too.
You know, have a heart to give, man. Having a heart to give, brother. Look, man.
But
there's not anybody who have a heart like that, man.
Sure. But the good news is that they're home. That's hope. So let me take a break here. We've been talking from the topic, speak for yourself. And I started by explaining that there are bureaucrats and politicians and everybody else that seem to be happy to keep you and I under their control and direction. All right. I'm all for reasonable actions to keep us all safe. But I am a grown man. My mama used to say, rest her soul, 20 doggone one.
You
understand what I'm saying?
That's what you say.
20 doggone.
You haven't forgot about that.
Yeah. But
that's all right.
Pastor, let me know.
Well,
just go ahead, Taylor. Go ahead.
That's what these Democrats are trying and these progressives are trying to do to this country. They're trying to put it in a position where you don't have no control over yourself. Look at the bills that Joe Biden has passed, and look at the idea of they want to have digital currency, whereas if you don't fall in a certain spectrum, your debit cards and that won't work in some places. And that's what they're doing. You can see that with these mandates on these COVID vaccinations. FDA is saying you can't use this drug. Ain't none of their business what drug you want to use for your own health.
Well, I read in Revelation it described it as the mark of the beast, and how the enemy was going to come and going to require everybody to represent and to show that you're in compliance with the beast. Now that dog ain't going to hunt
either. Yeah, those prophecies look like to me they coming to fruition.
Well, so anyway, again, it now along with anytime you have something big, it comes with responsibilities, right? And most people want the best out of life, but that comes with responsibility. That's not something that anybody can hand you. You got to build that for yourself. You got to work toward it, you know?
Well, for the United States to be number one in the world, it comes with responsibility. It's things that the population should do. Educate. We should have a superb educated population. That's what blacks want to have their own schools. Whites leave the schools to them. And all they want to do is teach about some damn history. And history that they didn't have no part of. And making a relationship. See, it don't got so terrible now. It don't reserve it to one thing, skin color. And that's not even consistent because all people ain't Isaac Hayes and Wesley Snipes complexion.
True.
So
anything
that ain't lily white, they call it black.
Right.
That's
a play on
words.
It is. And it can again cause people to be at odds with one another. You understand what I'm saying? Because if I don't consider myself black, I refer myself as African American or something else, then you've offended me, you know. But you all lumped into the same thing. Again, I'm gonna speak for myself.
Then using words like we and us.
Well,
all black people ain't in no we and us, and potentially they don't want to be in the we. I'll give you an example. The young lady down there in Louisiana that wanted to spell it be, right? She's what they call here black, but she's not. No, she's Ghanaian. She's
Ghanaian.
Not no native black American.
Okay.
The people in Oklahoma, just because they got dark skin, that don't make them native black Americans. They Indians. So why are you trying to claim them?
Well, I understand St. Louis, the tendency to do that. Not that it's right. Not that it's right. And I agree with you, your premise, and that is the backlash. That's the drawback, see, because you assume you got everybody on board, and you really don't.
Because, no, they don't want to be on board.
Well,
I'm standing here on dry land, watch y'all go across that ocean.
Get
out there in the middle and sink.
Well, now, St. Louis, we're going to go with you or we're going to go without you, okay? I still love you, but we're going to go with you or we're going to go without you. Now, which one you
want? Well, go ahead.
right, we out of here, man. This ship
I'm gonna sit here and drink my lemonade.
Okay, this ship is moving. Now, I will say this. That's an interesting thing because at the end of the day, there are some things that are just consistent with your American citizenship. And I want to bring this point out that, I think I mentioned to you all that I talked to a number of different groups of people. They had different interests, you know, and they were asking me as a candidate for office, you know, how would I advocate for those various interests? And I would always say to them that as a citizen of the state of Tennessee, in this case, right, there are certain rights that all of us have. They don't go away because you choose to identify yourself with a particular social group or a certain social context. You still have that right as a citizen. And when you understand mm-hmm. that, and you understand that the frame of what the framers meant when they said that they hold these truths to be self-evident and talked about governments being established among men. But the point that I think you should realize is that he said that the consent, the powers that the government have are based on the consent of those who are governed by it, not the government.
That's right. The government gets its power from the people.
Absolutely.
And too many folks have got it backwards.
Yes, sir. And it's a lot of different people. I think the latest, after the 2020 census, now America have about 335 million people. I think mm-hmm. I'm saying that right, something like that. So it's a lot of folk here, man. And to assume that everybody is going to be monolithic, think the same way, come on, man. You're setting yourself up. Now, it's possible for you to agree with people. You understand what I'm saying? And to
disagree.
Or disagree and respect the differences you might have and agree to disagree. But one of the things I'd like to see, gentlemen, is for us not to be so divisive and pitted in different corners and what have you. I realize I can't control all that, so I'm going to do my best to be as civil as I can. Sometimes, St. Louis, you got to love the hell out of people. You understand what
well,
I'm saying?
Good. God loves and forgive. I don't.
Well, that's why I believe in God. See, that's why I believe in God. Because I know if it had not been for the Lord, I don't know where would I be. That's the songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But so some of us, we got to, guess what? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And Pastor Waller, if I find him slumped, I'm going to ask, what's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you now? Now, he may be drunk. I'll go and pull him to the side and get him some coffee, let him soap up and get him walking on his feet. Say, don't get on, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon. How about that, Pastor Watson?
Hey, you know, the Bible says, humble yourself.
Sure.
That's what he says now.
I do that to humble myself.
And then after he said, humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, then he said, he'll exalt you in due time. See, that's the good news. So I like that. You know, I like that. It didn't say humble yourself because you got something or humble yourself because you don't. It's just humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. So that's a beautiful thing. You know.
Well, you know, Reuben. You ever heard of Aunt Van Arbor, Michigan, and Groose Point, Michigan?
Yeah, I've been through there. Yeah, I've been through there.
Those Muslim community.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
They go by the Quran. And the schools are excellent in those communities. The businesses, you know, that one in Minnesota, they have Sharia banks where they have loans available for their members that they don't impose interest on them. Home loans and business loans and so on and so on. They operate based on Sharia.
It's interesting you say that because I was doing some work with a Title I parent group down in Pontiac, Michigan, which is not very far from what you're describing. And that's kind of where I learned about them. What I understood that they did was to, with the city government, you know, they had a compact agreement that, now some things they couldn't exercise fully with the Sharia law as if they were in the Middle East, but there were certain things that the city respected about their custom and their culture that permitted mm-hmm. them in the context of their subculture. Now, they couldn't push that on everybody else, but yeah, you're right. And they were wise enough to be organized politically to make the and have people elected to office too, St. Louis.
That yeah, like that Omar.
Yeah, nah, she's a handful though, but I don't know if she, but that's a whole other story. That let me get out of my feelings there, St. Louis. Let me get out of my
mm-hmm.
feelings. No, but I'm saying my point was is that they were organized enough to know that they wanted to protect their customs and their ethnicity, so they availed themselves, and we could do that. When I say okay, there I go saying we, St. Louis, me, my people,
and we.
Negro, black, colored folk, Afro-American, African, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to let all y'all come on in there. Y'all come on. You're welcome at my table. You're welcome. But that's what
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about. It is possible for us to be organized on that level and to exact those things for ourselves. Well, you go
to but anyway.
Say, Pastor Doctor, you said we being who are strong, we being who are strong, you know, that's mm-hmm. what the word says. So it's nothing wrong with saying we.
I read that.
Well, sometimes it's offensive because people don't want to be involved in that we.
You see, that means you choose you. You don't have to be involved. The word of God still say what it say. We being who are strong, not weak. We ain't think we do have a whole lot of money or have a whole lot of knowledge or have a whole lot of this and that and the other. They say we being who are strong ought to, whether we do it or not, ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. That's what I love about it right there. And so, you know, that means that when you have a humble heart, brother, I'm talking about Pastor Doctor, you got a chance to say we. And that's why it's so unique. You know, the word, when you get on the same team, you're on the same accord, you know, you have a position you play and you do the thing that you do, but you still got the same wavelength. You're heading in the same direction by way of saying together we stand and divided we're going to fall. So keep standing, brother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That worked good when you say, well, we leaving, and you get up, and you're the only one that walk out the door. Everybody else is still sitting.
It's about an example.
The Bible says choose you. This day who you serve. So when you're serving yourself, you know, you serve yourself. Don't get mad at nobody else because they allow you to get up. You have a right to choose to do that.
It's about setting an example. And when
people... That's a beautiful thing.
Well, when people see your example and benefit for them in it, guess what they're likely to do? They're likely to come on board, you know. But first, you have to be a sacrifice there. Most of us don't want to do that. A lot of folk I know don't want to do it. They want they from the land of the bumping gum people. They good with talking, but when it comes to putting some work out, you can't find them nowhere. You can't find them nowhere. So, but that's all right. We still love them. I still love them too, St. Louis. I still love them.
Yeah, that's bubblegum people. Where's the other women at?
I don't know. But we will. Hopefully, they'll come back and find us.
Probably
I know
somewhere
where
fixing their hair.
Watch it, St. Louis. Watch. I'm here, and I fixed my hair before I came on air, St. Louis. Put me some borettes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good to go. No.
Well, it's almost 9 o'clock, so I'm gonna get out of here.
Well, we appreciate you, sir. Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate you. We look forward to next Tuesday.
All right. Take care of yourself. Be careful.
Yes, sir. You too. Yeah. All right. But so we've been talking from the topic generally, speaking for myself in America. You do that. When you do that, get what you want. Let me just stop now and reiterate a driving point, and I want that is found in the scriptures, Galatians 6 and 7. It says, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth,
that shall
be reaped. I like that word, that. Whatever you put in. See, and don't be trying to put nothing fake in. Don't be trying to put nothing fake in, because if it's fake, when you put it in, it's going to come back to your fake. Help us, Holy Ghost.
We'll come back.
And you ain't got nobody to blame when it comes back to your fake. but you, because you put something in faith. Help me hold it.
Pastor, give me a final thought
to help me understand how I can. Now you done told me that it ain't about my chronological age. That ain't it. That's not it.
No.
So speaking for myself, having self autonomy, authority to choose for myself, what is it about? And wrap this up for us here. Wrap this up for us.
Yeah, it's like trust. You know, trust is powerful, man. And it's like you got to choose to trust. And that is saying, if I don't know how to do it, let me find somebody that know how to do it. And that would give me a chance to say, I can learn.
Right.
That's why the word does say, you know, you take my word upon you and learn of me. That's the thing about learning. So learning is a good thing. So I would say seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so if we just make that known continuously, then nothing and nobody can come in and to make it seem like there is another way that's much better. there is another way. But it's up to the person to choose whether you want to go that route or not. That's the beauty of choosing. So
right.
I would say the most important thing about life is he give us choices now that we can do certain things like choosing to go one route or another. And to if we want to go out into the world and get captured into the world's way, I mean, we have that right to choose.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to stay free from it.
Watch it.
And you have that right also. Amen. So it boils down to choices. And as I said earlier, you know, your age doesn't really have anything when I say that would cause you to believe that because I'm 21. You know, that's just a number that's been put out there by a system. And it just gives you right to do certain things that you wouldn't do at first. But if I can change of things at the age of 16.
Wow.
It's positive.
Wow.
You know, I just think that's fair. Or 66, you know, because it just took me a little while longer to find out that, hey, man, I got choices today.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what you was talking about, the topic. You know.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. At the end of the day, though, whatever your age is, you have the right and the responsibility. Let me say it one more time. You not only have the right choice, but you have the responsibility of action.
When you make
that choice, you have the responsibility to maintain yourself in that decision. You understand what I'm saying? What you ought to do is, like the scripture said, make your call and election sure. Be sure what you want to do now. You know what I'm saying? I would not
make up your mind. Make up your mind and see which route you want to go. Think about it.
You know, right. See, because you could walk up to a bear and pop him in the mouth. I wouldn't recommend that. I would not recommend that.
No, sir.
Unless you can run real fast. Because that bear will have something. That bear will have something, a rebuttal for you. And I wouldn't recommend you do that.
Sir.
You can do it.
I don't think that's something.
It can happen.
That's not something that I would recommend. I would recommend peace.
Yes, sir.
And harmony.
Yes, sir. I would, if you're going to do anything, I would recommend you extend some honey to that bear. You may like that a little bit better than you busting him in the mouth. Because if you do that, he will have, trust me, believe me when I tell you, the bear's going to have something to say about it. He will have a rebuttal for you, and you might not like it. You might not like it.
Yes, sir.
With that, Pastor, we're grateful for another episode. And we'll look forward to coming back next Tuesday, and we hope our machinery holds up for us again then. We're grateful that it did. Exactly. Tonight. And so, Pastor, thank you again, sir, my friend, for...
Yes, sir. Enjoy it, brother. Just keep doing what you're doing, Pastor Doctor.
A very powerful example there. I want to end with Langston Hughes, Life Hadn't Been No Crystal Staff. And this was a message mother to her son. And we just kind of did a little rendition of this here. But you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, two-time author. One book is entitled Still High, and the other, The Flip Side. If you hadn't read it, you need to read it so you can understand.
Amen.
All right. You've been listening to Talk Straight. And we're grateful for your continued participation, and we look forward to meeting you again right here on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Show. Now we go to Langston Hughes as we part with you.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners. Sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.